Now, it's my honor to invite up to the platform some dear friends, Phil and Jen Foster. Would you all stand up, and I'll tell you about them, but won't you all stand up and honor before you even know who they are? Won't you honor them now? And this is what I'm going to say is, go ahead and have a seat. Phil and Jen are missionaries down in Nicaragua of One Journey Ministries. And I want to tell you how much Kelly and I believe in them. We were invited to, it was such an honor, humbly accepted. We sit on their board. Earlier this year in January, we went down to visit them and to see what God is doing down there. And it is amazing. I believe that God is going to use them. And we saw a time we were in their church in Managua. And the way the Holy Spirit came down as we were ministering to a group of leaders on a Tuesday night was powerful. And the Nicaraguan flag was back in this corner. And, you know, the air conditioning down there, at least in the church, was God's air conditioning. And so it was awesome. It was a dead standstill. And all of a sudden, just during the corner of worship, this flag starts waving like this. And it was going to town. And we really believe that the Lord is going to use them as apostolic ministry in the country of Nicaragua to bring revival and awakening in Nicaragua. And I'm telling you, that's not just a wishful thinking. It is happening. I know it's happening. And it's an honor for us to be able to have them share a little bit of their ministry with you. And then we're going to receive an offering, a love offering for them. So Phil and Jen, it's all yours.
All right. Well, good morning. And it's been almost 2 years since we've been here. The last time, actually, Jen got up and shared. This time, I'm going to share one part, and then she's going to share a second part. I know we talked with a couple of people this morning who knew about what happened with Jen in January of 2016. On January 11th, 2016, Jen was diagnosed with a bleeding brain aneurysm. And obviously, we were in Nicaragua at the time. And she had two events where she actually passed out and was incoherent. And after the second one, I rushed her to the emergency room. Now, you need to understand that we do not have insurance. And I took her to a Joint Commission-accredited hospital, where they admitted her into the emergency room and then into the ICU once they determined that she had a brain aneurysm. Through talking with the administrator and so forth, it was determined that the procedure that they wanted to do, was to go up through the thigh, up through the heart, and into the brain to repair it, was going to cost $80,000. This hospital's a pay-as-you-go, so if I hand you this bottle of water, they're going back to the computer and they're charging your account, taking it out of your account when they do each procedure. We don't have $80,000 sitting in the bank, and I didn't know anyone who did. We were talking with our pastors, Tim and Elizabeth in San Marcos, and going back and forth with the doctors and them, can we fly her out? Someone in the church offered to use their plane to come down and get her, but at the end of the day, it was decided that because of too many unknowns as to what, like, the effect of the cabin pressure would have on her, we were going to keep her there. We contacted a Nicaraguan doctor, a friend of ours. He came, assessed the situation, made some calls, wound up talking to the lady who's over the entire hospital system in Nicaragua and had her transferred to a public hospital. That was Monday. She got transferred on Wednesday. Monday night, she was admitted to ICU, and I just want to kind of set a precedence. Obviously, this was emotional, mental, you know, a lot of wear and tear in our family, our children, our staff. But Monday night in the hospital, after she was admitted to the ICU, we were sitting outside in the hallway. I think technically we were not supposed to be there, but we stayed anyway. And I began walking the hall and the one of the waiting rooms and so forth. And I prayed the first part of Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I mean, even as I stand here now, I can feel, you know, just the peace coming down. But I felt a tremendous amount of peace, like peace that I had never felt before. And that 23, Psalm 23:1, just that first part, carried us through that this whole ordeal. So on Wednesday, she was transferred to the public hospital. And if you've never been to a third world country, when I say that the hospital was appalling, it was appalling. There were people everywhere, doctors everywhere, people throwing up over here, people over here, I think, with some type of head trauma. And there was just so much going on. It took us about 2 hours to get back to get an x-ray for her. After, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours, they finally got her in a room after much pushing and shoving back and forth. Well, we don't have your paperwork, so we're not going to do this. And I'll admit it, I got upset and kind of raised my voice, but it got the job done and we got her into a room. There are a couple of huge blessings. We had a Cuban neurosurgeon and an American neurosurgeon in the hospital at the time, and they actually wound up doing the surgery on Jen. A few days after the surgery, the Cuban doctor went back to Cuba. The American doctor, we found out afterwards, actually comes down every year from January through March. It's a training hospital, and he comes down and teaches the interns and assists with surgery. So he was very instrumental in helping me to maintain peace, because one, he spoke English, and two, he understood my concerns. So much so that prior to the surgery and after, he pushed and did everything to keep her in ICU, because he knew that's where she was going to get the best medical attention. When the first time he walked in to see her, after looking at her file and everything, he walked in and he looked at her and he goes, "You must have a strong brain, because you should be dead right now." Obviously, we knew that we had a good God, and you know, it really had nothing to do with her brain. But he oversaw. No, I don't mean that in a negative way. Hey. Sorry, that didn't come out right. Anyway, he was very instrumental in her care. At one point, they pulled her out of the ICU and put her in the general ward. And I walked in. She had only been out maybe a couple of hours. And I went, I reached for her hand, I lifted her hand, and she had absolutely no movement in her hand, her left hand or her left leg. She did not have a stroke. She was having vasospasms, and a result of that was pretty paralyzed on her left side. But God. She was in ICU for 2 weeks. They tried taking her out a second time and had her out about 2 minutes and put her back in. Again, Dr. McDonald, the American neurosurgeon, was very instrumental. He listened to my expressed concerns and my unexpressed concerns. And she had the surgery on January 15th. On February 1st, I walked in. And while she was in ICU, we could only see her for 1 hour every afternoon. I walked in. He said, "We're at the point now where she has to be moved out of ICU." And he said, "But rather than putting her into the general population, I'm going to release her to your home, because I know that she'll get better care there." The month of February was difficult. For most of the month, she was incoherent. She could do nothing for herself. We have a staff member on the very first day that she was home, came in at 6 a.m., and she came in at 6 a.m. every morning for 7 days for over 2 months to care for her, bathing her, dressing her, helping her to shower, all of that. And then, of course, at that point began her recovery. I'm not a physical therapist or an occupational therapist. I don't know anything to do. And I started doing things with her arms and her legs, and found out after talking with an occupational therapist that I was doing the right thing. And then he gave me some tips on some other things to do, which helped in her recovery. And in early May, after about a month of talking or so, he actually came down and spent 5 days with us with the focus of just helping Jen. He helped her to learn how to walk down the stairs and up the stairs, how to get in and out of the vehicles, how to walk, you know, pretty much just in general, which was a tremendous help. Now, she was going to regular medical follow-ups with the neurosurgeon. We never, ever got to really meet with Dr. McDonald again after that. We just met with one of the neurosurgeons in the hospital. And she was complaining in Spanish about how she wasn't able to do what she was able to do before, like moving her arm and walking and so forth. And you could see him. He was like, he'd look at the paperwork, flip through it, and then look at her, and then flip back through it again and look at her. And she said something else, and he looked up at her, and he goes, "You do understand that we don't normally have those your type of outcome here in this hospital. There are usually deficits that do not go away." So that kind of, you know, brought, you know, perspective back for her, well, for her and for us. But, you know, Psalm 23, that first half of that verse carried us through. I didn't really even fully understand the impact of it until Friday night when Jen was in surgery. Our 15-year-old daughter, she's 15 now, walked up to me and she goes, "You know, we should be overwhelmed by this, and we should be upset, and we should be this, and we should be that." And she said, "I don't feel any of that. I just feel peace." But it was also an encouragement for us. Of course, we were communicating with Jay and Kelly. We were communicating with our pastors and other people that we know. And it was very encouraging because at one point, you know, I had people from all over Nicaragua calling us. And we had another ministry that we used to be a part of, and they were contacting us, letting us know that they had put it on their, you know, prayer list. And he had people calling from Africa, from the Middle East, from Europe, all wanting to know that how she was doing and letting him know that they were praying for her. So it really was, you know, at the end of the day, it really was a worldwide event that we had probably tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people praying for her recovery.
Yeah. For a long time, I didn't really understand, you know, what was happening. But I'm better now. Thank y'all for praying. So the truth is that we just know that had God not intervened, I'd have died. And those of you, we were talking to someone who was telling us that, you know, that y'all had told everybody here and y'all were, as a church, were praying. Thank you. So finally, you know, I got a clue that maybe God had something else for me to do, for us to do. And so I want to share with you just a little bit about why we're in Nicaragua. We run a ministry called One Journey Ministries. We've been down there now. This December will be the end of our sixth year, and we're starting our seventh. And obviously, as Jay said, our goal is to be used by the Lord for the nation to be captured for the kingdom. So everything that we do, it doesn't really matter if it's a outreach with children or Bible study with adults. It's all about people coming to understand and really experience who God is in their lives. So, I lost my whole train of thought. Anyway, so we do various things. We have one group of precious, precious ladies that I've been working with now for a long time in a very isolated community. They don't have electricity. Well, their lives are just, I don't even know how to explain it to you. But we do a Bible study with them, and for us, that seems pretty normal. You know, okay, we're going to have a ladies' Bible study. Grab your Bible and, you know, head on out, and we know what to expect. That is not the case for them. I mean, it's been, you know, it's not picturesque. It's not something you can put a lot of pictures on, you know, your website or whatever and say, look what we're doing, like it is with children. They, you know, are so cool to look at. But anyway, it's the down and dirty, you know, what do you think God is saying in this scripture kind of thing. So that is one of the outreaches that we do. And then We work in another community in Leon, Nicaragua. I'm too close to your thing. In Leon, Nicaragua, and we have multiple things going on there, but one of the most precious things there is there's a pastoral couple, and we've been privileged to mentor them. We're actually teaching them through a book, maybe y'all know, When Heaven Invades Earth. If y'all have read that, it's rocking their world. I mean, the whole concepts. And so that is a really big deal to be able to impact their lives in that way. And then, of course, that's going to impact their church. And I will say, when I say church, it's nothing like this. When we first started going there, it was just some sticks in the ground. I don't think I have any pictures. But anyway, it was just sticks in the ground with like some tin covering. We've been privileged through some of the teams that have come down to be a part of actually raising up more of a solid structure. I mean, it's still an outdoor church, but it's got steel beams now and a good roof. So anyway, so we're working with them in that community. And then another thing that, I'm sorry, another thing that we've been really investing a lot of time in is, with them, we were talking about one of their passions, or tell us about your goals for 2017 or for your church. And one of the things that they said was that, you know, they really wanted the young people in their church to encounter God in such a way that it was transformational. We all throw those words around because we come from a culture that, you know, supports that. But they didn't really have those words. But what they were trying to say is, you know, we don't want them to just come to church when they're kids, which is what happens there a lot. And then when they get to be young adults, they just go off and live their life and they're not really interested in the things of God. And so that's a real passion in their heart. And so, interestingly enough, we have a team from Indiana that's been coming down now for 6 years, thank you, Jesus. And they're going to be supplying Sunday school materials for us to be able to give, we'll be teaching the Sunday school teachers and using those materials so that they can actually teach the kids. Because the last time we were there on Sunday morning with the kids, I mean, they had some broken crayons and some white pieces of paper. So I don't know how many of y'all have ever tried to teach Sunday school, but having materials is important. So that's really exciting. And it's even more exciting to watch, you know, it's cool to go on a mission trip because you get to impact other cultures' lives. But one of the things that we have always believed is that God was going to impact the lives of the people who were coming for the mission trip in addition to the Nicaraguan people. And this group is a prime example of that because they found us through our website and came down the first year. And like I said, this will be their sixth year or seventh year. I don't know. They've been coming back every year. And the truth is they were a group of people that were pretty, I don't know what the right adjective, traditional. And so our worship challenged them, our belief that God heals people challenged them. I mean, just everything was a real challenge to them the first couple of years. And so it's just been really interesting to watch God touch them and transform their lives. Oh, okay. I'm having to get cues this morning. Anyway, so yes, like Jay said, we've been really, one of the things that we're really excited about in this new, well, as we go back this week, is that we have a word from the Lord that he's making all things new. I think our thought process was, you know, we're going to come down here and get rested from all the craziness from my surgery, especially my family. I mean, they bore the burden of that. And God will do whatever he needs to do in us, and then we'll just go home and do it again. But basically the word is that he was making all things new. And so we were like, yay. That's not a small thing. But anyway, The truth is we have believed that God wanted to capture the nation of Nicaragua the entire time we've been there, but it's been really hard going because we've not had the connections and the community. There's not been any other group of people that really were interested in the same thing. And what happened when Jay and Kelly were there in January was really significant. It wasn't a small thing, it was a big thing. Because that Tuesday night, so when I was in the hospital, however long ago that was, anyway, there was a conference and Tim Darnell was supposed to speak at that conference. And so they were here, or they were in Nicaragua, you know, not just for the conference, but also because I was in the hospital. And so they went ahead and went to the conference with Phil, my husband, and God just made some connections at that conference that, you know, you don't always know what God's doing. I remember later on when I was cognizant again, Phil was talking about, well, I met that guy, you know, at the conference. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. So it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't like we knew exactly what God was doing until this year when we were planning, actually Phil was planning, for Jay and Kelly to come as well as Tim and Elizabeth. They all came down in January again this year, and we wanted to have some opportunities for connection and for them to preach and minister while they were there. So turns out, you know, that's what those connections were for. And so Tim and Elizabeth ministered in one church on Sunday, and Jay and Kelly were in the other. We divided up. We're in the other Sunday. And then Tuesday night, which is for me the most significant night, we were all together in a church that would, in English, it would be Emmanuel Christian Center. And the pastor there is an amazing young man. He just turned 28. Very gifted and bilingual, and we just had an immediate connection with him. And so that Tuesday night we were ministering to the staff, and Elizabeth Darnell, I don't know how many of y'all know, but anyway, she began to minister in songs. She was playing the piano and ministering, singing, and Dennis, who's the pastor of the church in Managua, began to translate what she was singing in Spanish. He's singing it in Spanish and harmonizing at the same time. It was pretty incredible. I was like, ooh, that's nice. Anyway, and then the word of the Lord that came through that night, like Jay was talking about, was one of the most powerful words that I've ever heard. And it was about the Lord, again, wanting to capture the nation of Nicaragua. Hallelujah. And using that group of people to do that. And I remember when that happened, I was like, oh God, I want to be a part of that. So it's been really interesting to watch that, you know, take place. And since then, well, here's the thing. We haven't had a place that we could call our own to worship in Nicaragua ever, because the culture is just so different there, even in the religious, traditional church world. They don't believe in so many things. I mean, even the goodness of God. You know, we had one church we were sitting at, and the pastor said something like, well, you know, whatever God has to do to get your attention, he'll put you in the hospital if he has to. And we were like, you know, so there's a, and that's just, you know, this big example. So I can't probably adequately tell you what a big deal it is to come across like-spirited people. And that's what God is doing. He's connecting us with like-spirited people. And since that time, so we started attending that church ever since January. And there have been multiple people who have come in who didn't know anything about Tuesday night and began to, there were prophetic words that were exactly the same, basically, as what the Lord had said that Tuesday night. So we just know that God is doing big things there. And there's just a ton going on in the connection, apostolic connection piece. And so we really feel like in the, you know, in year 7, that's really where we're going to go. Okay, so I think I'm done talking if you want to play the slides. So we have a few little pictures for y'all.
So here's what we're going to do is, I got two challenges for you. One, we'll be praying about becoming a monthly contributor to the ministry at One Journey. We as a church already do that, but I think there's something significant when the Lord puts it on your heart to partner with on a monthly basis or an ongoing basis to be able to continue the ministry in Nicaragua. The second thing is we're going to receive a love offering for them right now. And every single dollar that comes in this offering is going directly to them. And I just want to say, as we began to pray as a board for them specifically, that God wanted to do something supernatural in what's happening. And one of the coolest testimonies I've heard over the last couple years about what God's done in Nicaragua is the amount of times that God has multiplied the resources to go further than they were supposed to go, time after time after again. And just even when the multiplication of the fish and the bread loaves, the number of times they've been at a feeding center, and there's more kids than there is actually food to be able to do it. And as Luz is cooking, she's like, don't worry, right? And every scoop, it's like it's the last scoop, and there was more, and there was more, and there was more, where God multiplies it. And the word I felt like the Lord was saying is that there's no insignificant offering that you can bring to him. Like one penny to $1 million is not insignificant to God. It doesn't matter. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he's got the resources. But there's something he's going to do as the offering leaves your hand and goes into there, that it's going to multiply into lives transformed, cities transformed, and a nation transformed in ways you can't possibly imagine with that too. And so go ahead, and here's what I'm going to do is make the checks directly to Legacy so we can write them one check and make it easy on the deposit. But on the memo line, put One Journey. And I just want to challenge you, give big. The other way, too, is if you want to give online, you can go. We've activated a giving code that if you go into our online giving, legacymb.com/give, one of the drop-down boxes is going to be a love offering for our conference and our event speakers and whatnot. That, as we know, that comes in specifically for that. That will also go into, and we'll be able to present them one check. And the cool thing is they've spent time with Tim and Elizabeth over at Hill Country Church in San Marcos. You've heard me talk about them. They're our dear, dear friends. And we believe that this offering is going to come in. So as they hit the ground running, they're able to hit the ground running really without having to worry about any financial concerns. And I believe you said it, year 7 is a year of jubilee. We're talking about the forgiveness of debt, that there's something that the enemy wanted to do that the Lord is now turning back on top of his head. And the significance of the prayer request going all across the world is now what the devil tried to do to kill her in Nicaragua in a place of, quote, insignificance. Now the Lord is turning into a place of a mighty roar that goes across the planet. Because how many people were praying for her, and she's a walking miracle. Their whole family is a walking miracle. Now that miracle has gone across the planet to become a testimony of the goodness of God. And people are going to be asking what's happening, and they're going to hear. And that was the word I saw, heard on that Tuesday night, is I saw a championship boxing belt. And the thing about Nicaragua is a lot of times people have said, and there's that one scripture where it talks about a certain group of people said, only thieves and losers and stuff come from this nation. That was Paul was talking about them. And there was a certain orphan spirit, poverty spirit that had captured Nicaragua. In fact, when we were there, the people were telling me, well, if you have a degree from the university here in Nicaragua, nobody will hire you. You have to be one from Guatemala or Costa Rica or something like that. And what I felt like the Lord was saying, it says, no more is that orphan poverty spirit going to do. Like he was placing this championship belt across people's ways to be able to do it. Says, I'm going to use the country of Nicaragua to transform Central and South and North America in ways that people cannot possibly imagine. And so as we give into this and there's prayer life, I'm challenging you, believe for the more. I mean, like, you got to believe that God is who he says he is, and he wants to do what he says he's going to do in that, too. So if you fill out an offering, I'm going to invite you guys to go ahead and bring it up here now. And then what we'll do is I'm going to bring Phil and Jim. We're going to pray for them. But so before you leave, you can drop in the offering boxes, or you can bring that up into that. So Phil and Jim, why don't you come down to the front platform? Gary, Linda, Thomas, anybody, any of our other elders that might be in the room, we're just going to pray over them right now. Any of our leaders, come on up. There it is. And this is specifically an anointing prayer oil called Abba. It's out of Jerusalem. And I believe it's the Father's kiss, the royalty that's going to come on too. And so if y'all would extend out your hand of blessing over them. And we're just going to make some powerful declarations over them as they go this week back into the city, into the country. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Phil and Jen, Lord. We thank you for the testimony of miraculous healing, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that testimony has already gone across the planet. But, Lord, it's only the foretaste of what you want to do, that you are taking every single plan of the enemy and you're turning it back into a blessing in Jesus' name. And not just a one-for-one return, but, Lord God, you are multiplying the blessings that came out of the suffering. In the name of Jesus, I end the assault of the enemy on their family's life right now. In the name of Jesus, we anoint them, Lord, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just declare right now, a sound mind. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that of how much has come back. And we do not take lightly the fact that people don't recover. And not only do people not recover from that, people don't live out of that or from that. And yet you've done that, Lord. I declare a spirit of thriving right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord God, overfill the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I declare right now an end to any of assault of the enemy. I declare right now, the King of righteousness is kissing you. Everything you need to succeed. And it's not just going to be a testimony here or there that you have to get to the end of the food tray in order for his provision to come in. But what he's declaring is you're going to have so much that you're going to be able to give it away and that you now carry an anointing for breakthrough. That you have a breaker spirit, that when you come into the places that people used to say, this is difficult land to till, you're going to walk on and that land is all of a sudden going to be broken up and fertile and ready to be planted in. And it's going to produce a harvest a hundredfold beyond. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. We also thank you, Lord, for Grace, Lord, for Abigail, for Nick, Lord God. We pray your blessing and your declaration over them, that, Lord, as they watch their parents boldly go into a place that wasn't theirs previously, but now it's become their territory. It's become their land. It's become their country. It's become their people group. Because, God, you are sending them as apostles. And in the name of Jesus, I declare you're being sent. You're a sent one apostolically to go and bring the gospel of the kingdom everywhere you go. And we just declare this right now in the mighty name of Jesus and all God's people said. Amen, amen. Amen. Would y'all stand and honor them, please, one more time.